Do you ever feel stuck, like you're living your life on autopilot? Are you ready to shift into high gear and reach the success you so richly deserve? Welcome to the Play Big Movement podcast. I am your host, Sharon Lecter, entrepreneur, business strategist, and best-selling author. Playing big is not about settling for good enough or being comfortable. It is about reaching your highest potential and achieving your greatest success. Join me in my Play Big movement as I interview top experts in business, money, and entrepreneurship, all ready to serve you and to help you play big, be number one in your field, live your legacy, and create maximum impact. Hello, everyone. Welcome to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. And I'm excited with our guest today because we met for the first time a couple of weeks ago as I was on a search for understanding what various states were doing as it related to bringing personal financial education into their curriculum. And I can't tell you, you all know this has been my passion since December of 92. And finally, I found this treasure trove of research and information that was like, it was beyond a gold mine. I'm going to say platinum mine. So Tim Renzetta, thank you for joining with me today. I'm so excited. He is a very successful entrepreneur through multiple different companies. Started out with the management consulting firm Bain & Company. I had some friends back there too. But has dedicated his passion, just like I've dedicated mine. And he is the founder of Next Gen Personal Finance, which provides free resources for students and teachers around the globe. But obviously, we're focusing on the U.S., and Tim, thanks for being with me today.
Sharon, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
Well, I was honored to be introduced to you, but even more excited to see your passion and what you've pulled together. So everybody out there, so many of you have reached out to me saying, how can I get this in my states? How can I get finance? You now have the best resource I have ever seen, ever. And I don't, you know, I don't say those things lightly, and that is in the Next Gen Personal Finance. So, but Tim, let's go back to Tim before this and share a little bit. I mean, you've had an incredible journey, just like I have. You've had a multiple different companies that you've built and been part of, but share a little bit with our audience about Tim growing up as a little boy and then how you got here. Because I know you talk about having your first job at seven.
Yeah. So I grew up in a family of six kids, and I was child number five, and we were put to work at a young age. And, you know, this is kind of just one example of where luck played a role. My neighbor late one night broke her hip walking her dog. And so suddenly she had a problem, which was who could walk her dog. And I don't know, I was 7 years old at the time. I don't know why I got picked, but somehow somebody thought, why don't we send a little runt over there to walk her Jack Russell Terrier. And that involved kind of walking the dog three times a day, 7 days a week. And on Friday afternoons, Mrs. Battison would hand me a $5 bill. And my dad realized that if I put it in a piggy bank, interest rates were pretty high at the time. My dad was a banker. So we walked down to the United Jersey Bank, opened an account, and every Friday afternoon I'd walk, take my $5 bill, and I'd deposit it. My dad was really good at not telling me that you could actually withdraw money from the bank. So I didn't discover that until I was in college when I needed that money to pay for school. So that was kind of just a very early lesson. You know, I grew up in New Jersey. Snowstorms were kind of a chance to make some money. I was a kid who always kind of had a job, whether it was newspaper routes, snowstorms, I'd go shovel driveways. And then high school through college, I spent 8 years as a golf caddy. And that really put me in touch with, this is a golf course that was a lot of the members were from Wall Street. And so, and I was a business major undergraduate. So this was kind of my first experience. While I wasn't working in an office, I had some great conversations with folks who taught me a lot about just how to act professionally. And many of them were investors, you know, successful investors on Wall Street. So
it plays into the power of association. You tend to learn from the people you hang out with. So you had a pretty good group there.
Yeah. So, and you had 4.5 hours to have a conversation with them. So that was great. So anyway, I went off to college. first job out of college was at Bain & Company, learned a ton about business, was involved in probably 30 different assignments and had to get up to speed quickly. And I think that was kind of just a great education for me. And then worked in a nonprofit for several years before going off to business school. And then following business school was just a series of entrepreneurial ventures from document destruction. So that's paper shredding. We used to call it document destruction, where we did a roll-up or a consolidation play where we acquired companies coast to coast, sold that business to an Australian-based company called Recall. And then second business after that was called Equilar, where we basically analyzed executive compensation packages for companies. And so that was a data-driven business where we would basically pull all the data from the SEC filings and put it in a format which made it really easy for companies.
I used it often with my clients. So I'm very familiar, yeah.
How about that? Yeah, that was, you know, that taught me really the power of data, you know, because we were literally taking data that was freely available to folks in the SEC filings, because companies had to file these things called proxies, and then we would just put it in a format where companies could run their own search queries, and it saved them a ton of time and a ton of money, because traditionally they would go hire consultants to crunch the data. And so this gave them the power. So, you know, you're still probably wondering, how does this eventually get to financial literacy, financial education? And that happened 10 years ago, where I was interested in kind of getting involved in education to some extent, and went and visited a high school on the proverbial other side of the tracks in East Palo Alto, California. And this is a school serving first gen, you know, kids who are trying to be first in their family to go to college. When I say first gen, low income and minority, and was so inspired by the founder of that school, who basically devoted his life to this institution of building a high school to serve this population. And at the time, and this continues to be the case, has sent 100% of his graduates to a college. And then more impressively, 70 to 75% of them graduate. And when you think, take that slice of the student population, low income, minority, first gen, the numbers are about 11%. Mm-hmm. 1 out of 10 who start finish college. His record is about 7 times. So anyway, I visited the school, was so inspired by what he did. I said, how can I help? He said, well, you got 2 business degrees. You seem to, you know, like business and entrepreneurship. How'd you like to run a personal finance course for us? So I was like, yeah, sure. So I didn't ask probably the right questions, because what I eventually discovered was I was going to need to find 25 hours of curriculum and do 3 sections of ninth graders, incoming ninth graders. Anybody who's dealt with ninth graders know they have a lot of energy. And so this was trial by fire, and I built a curriculum from scratch because I didn't see anything that was as hands-on, as relevant, as experiential as I felt like this course needed to be. And it basically changed, you know, the future direction of where I was going to spend the rest of my working years, because I saw 2 things. I saw every kid in the class engage with the course. Every kid wants to learn about money. Like, we say that all the time, but then when you see that as a teacher, where kids are practically jumping out of their seats, and the kids who the principal warned me about, who were going to be the proverbial difficult students, were the ones who were most engaged. So that's point number one. Point number two is I started getting emails.
We see that as well when we're in the schools. They recognize it as important information for them to know. So
yeah, and when there's such an engagement gap where you hear from, you know, administrators and educators that it's really hard to get kids enthused about high school, like, this is just the natural, because there's a direct line. There's no question that students aren't going to walk out of that classroom and say, I learned.
We would go into school with our Thrive Time for Teens game, and the administrator, particularly for the at-risk kids or the kids who were, you know, lower income, and the teachers would say, we just want you to know it's not you. These kids don't get engaged. They're, you know, they're going to like be looking at their phone. They're not going to be paying attention to you every time. And it was like, okay, you just watch.
Yeah. Yeah. And the second thing that totally unexpected, I started getting emails from parents, you know, saying my son came home. There was one specific example I always love to talk about because it had such an impact on me. A father emailing me saying, my son came home. You talked about investing in school today. I have not started investing for retirement. Can you help? And the story ends with the two of us, you know, the dad and myself, going to a brokerage to set up an IRA with the son with us. And I was like, wow, okay, you do a good job with young people, especially folks who whose families traditionally have been outside the financial mainstream and you teach them well, wow, you can have an impact that jumps generations. And so that was kind of a decade ago. And then 5 years ago, this idea, you know, sometimes as an entrepreneur, these ideas have to percolate for a while before you say, now it's time to do something. And it was 5 years ago, I hired my co-founder, Jessica, and kind of then we were off to the races.
So explain for our audience and viewers exactly what Next Gen Personal Finance is, what your goals are, and how they can be involved.
Yeah, so very simply, starting out, we wanted to be, when we talked to educators, they said, I spend a lot of time on Google. I spend a lot of time on Friday afternoons or Sunday nights doing Google searches to look for resources. So the first vision was just, you know what, we want to be that. I'm an efficiency freak. Like the idea, the concept of thousands of teachers doing the exact same thing in all their various towns just drives me crazy. I was like, we're going to create a repository where we're going to curate the best. And that was kind of the vision to start. And then we started to create lessons. And the lessons were kind of, think of them as playlists. So there'd be, we'd start every lesson with a discussion prompt because kids need to start talking about this. And then we'd include an article and then a video that we found that was particularly engaging. And then a hands-on activity. That would be a very simple lesson with the focus being, again, on curating the best from the web, but then also creating these hands-on activities for kids. So we built out a curriculum. And to be honest with you, the first 2 years was an experiment. You know, I thought, you know, my business training, my Bain consulting would have told me that this was a fool's errand because there are no shortage. You know it, you know, having been in the field for so long, Sharon, that like there's no shortage of resources. Like another resource, like you'd never hear from a teacher saying there's not enough resources. So I was like, you know what, we're going to see if we can do something unique, something that teachers, you know, something that teachers see as a differentiated product. And if that works, then I'll continue to invest and we'll build this organization out. So it was like 2 years and we were so lucky in those first 2 years. And you know this too, Sharon, as an entrepreneur, those early customers you bring on are so critical because they guided our development. They told us, this is what we like, this is what we need. And if you just listen, you know, we were very lucky. So teachers like Amanda Voltz out of Michigan, Brian Page out of Ohio, Barbara O'Neill out of New Jersey, they just saw what we were doing, liked it, and then continued to stay engaged. And that made all the difference. So we start with kind of, we want to be that one-stop shop for teachers looking for resources for their classrooms. If you want a semester course, we got it, scope and sequence. If you just want a supplementary resource, a project, an activity, a game, fine print, which is a product we created to teach kids how to read the fine print, a video, you know, then you can just pull it right off our website. And so we wanted to kind of cover all buckets because we know there are teachers who have great curriculum already, and but they're just looking for a little something extra. So that's curriculum. Then we quickly realized like teachers want more professional development. And so at that point we said, okay, we need to build a product of professional development that is very different from the way professional development is being delivered today. Because if you ask a teacher what they think about professional development, Sharon, what are they going to tell you?
Oh my God. They roll their eyes.
Please. No. So we said, let's just take the concepts and let's take our philosophy and the approach to the way we, to our curriculum development. Let's just take that same approach and bring it into professional development. And so Laura Matchett joined our team 3 years ago, and we had a vision for like, we're going to create a one-day professional development that's hands-on, engaging. Teachers are going to not only learn the content, because we know that's a key component. Most teachers have not taken a personal finance course, right? And so we have to upskill.
They need it themselves. Yep, they definitely need it themselves.
Yep, so we need to upskill on the content side. We need to give them ideas on how to model certain activities, and we got to give them resources that are easy to implement. So the best feedback we get from teachers is, I attended your FinCamp on Friday and I used resources on Monday. And so we kind of built a program, a 7-hour program. We're like, okay, again, we experimented. We said, let's throw this out and see what happens. And the first one we did was in our backyard. And so we asked the question, you know, that we all ask when we do things like this, would you recommend this FinCamp to a colleague? And when the scores came at like 9.9 out of 10, we said, okay, maybe we're on to something. Let's keep building this out. And so we did the first year, maybe 20 of these. And then last year we said, you know what? We believe all kids should have this, so we better reach all teachers. So we said, we're going to hit all 50 states. And so last school year, 2018 to 19, from July to June, we did a one-day fin camp in all 50 states, and that includes Alaska and Hawaii.
That's fantastic.
And the cool thing about that product is if you went to a fin camp today, it would be very different from what was done a year ago or what was done 2 years ago. The team is really has a mindset of how do we keep making this better? So that's the second piece, is like matching up the curriculum with the professional development. Because if a teacher feels confident, then that's going to make a difference in how they deliver their class. That's going to make a difference in the popularity of the class.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest issues, you know, pushback that we get from states when we were trying to get them to adopt classes, is our kid, you know, they say our teachers aren't capable of teaching it. And it's like, well, we got to figure that one out. So whether it's bringing in experts or making sure they get the information they need, or having the curriculum so that they don't need to necessarily teach it, they just facilitate it. And that's, you know, what we've always pushed. Let's get the top curriculum, which is what you've created, and the teacher becomes the facilitator. So
that is absolutely a key point, is if we believe, if we think every kid should have this and we need to get this in every classroom, we can't have every teacher be a sage on stage. Mm-hmm. Like, we do have to kind of in effect bake a lot of that into the curriculum so that they can facilitate it. And I think even with that, I think in order to increase confidence, teachers need to have that content knowledge, because you very quickly veer away anytime you deliver any of this content to kids. You know it. Kids are going to ask a million questions. And so giving them enough of that background knowledge too, so when that barrage of questions comes, they're also very comfortable, because we do this and we say this ourselves, like, I don't know the answer to that, but I know where to find it.
Right.
Because I think we have to be willing as educators to in effect model that for our students, to say, you know what, there's so much to this subject. Like, you can't.
Yep. You've got the resources, but you also need to learn how to be resourceful, right?
Exactly. I love that. I love that. And then the third piece of what we do is, so I've kind of, you know, give teachers a curriculum that engages their students, provide them with the professional development to give them confidence, and so that their class can be the best it can be and the most popular in the high school. And then the third piece is advocacy, which is we did some bottoms up research that found 1 out of 6 kids graduates from a high school that requires personal finance. So we scoured 10,000 course catalogs at high schools across America, and we found 1 out of 6. And that's pathetic, you know, because we know every kid needs this. They need to develop these skills, and we can't assume it's happening at home, because parents will tell you that they're often not comfortable talking about money.
That's right.
And we know it's not happening in schools, because only 1 in 6. And so our belief is that if you do the first two things right, if you get the curriculum right and the professional development, that it's very simple. Teachers will go to administrators and say, there's a waiting list. Mm-hmm. We have to add more sections. And you do that over multiple years, and before you know it, you got 50, 60, 70% of the students before they graduate taking the class, and then making it, you know what, every kid should get it, making that next step is that much easier, because you built that foundation. So, you know, we threw out there, I'm all about big, hairy, audacious goals. We call them BHAGs, but it's Mission 2030. By the year 2030, all kids, all high schools will take a personal finance course before they graduate.
Well, you've got my vote. Let me know what I can do. And I think, you know, we talk about all these resources, but what I didn't highlight at the beginning is that your organization is a nonprofit, and you provide these resources to the schools for free. Is that right?
Yeah. We can't have a mission of all kids and then slap up a paywall and say, oh, there's cost for this. And so the way they do it, I, you know, as you alluded to earlier, I've been very fortunate in my entrepreneurial career. And so I've created an endowment so that our organization can continue to provide curriculum, professional development, advocacy at no cost to teachers. And, you know, teachers will often say, what you're giving us is great. Thank you very much. What can we do for you? And what I say over and over again is, number one, you know, make your class, we're here to partner with you to make your class the best it can be. And number two is, how do we help us reach more kids?
Absolutely. And thank you for sharing that, Tim. I knew that information, but I didn't feel it was appropriate for me to share it. So thank you. I just want to acknowledge you and thank you for the generosity for creating this and making it available to teachers. And for those of you, so many of you have reached out to me. This is a wonderful opportunity for you to take it to your administrators, to take it to the teachers, to make sure they're aware of it. Because it's, you know, it's just, it's an incredible tool. What age group is the curriculum geared for?
Yeah, so we started, our initial entry point was high school, kind of 9 to 12. We've since built some middle school resources. And, you know, what you discover is, you know, we have probably have several hundred, through last count, 300 or 400 community colleges and universities where, you know, we see an email address, it's a professor there using it too. Because if the knowledge of the student you're in front of is minimal, what we've produced for high school works very well. You know, and I say that I've got a bunch of nieces and nephews and they were involved in some of the early product development and they would always come back and say, boy, this was incredibly helpful, whether it was learning about their credit score or, you know, learning how to manage a bank account for the first time. So I, you know, I really think it fits. And, you know, we also have nonprofits working with adults. Yeah. Who find it useful too.
It's so fabulous. I think it's wonderful. And I just applaud you. And have people want to find your website. How do they go?
Very easy. Yep. It's www.n as in next, G as in gen, P as in personal, and F as in finance, ngpf.org.
Perfect. So please go and carry the torch, because you know, that's what we found in all the areas that we work on, is when you get enough of advocates there to support you, that's when things happen. It's really almost a grassroots bottom up. And, you know, and the stakeholders that cause problems for you, you know, they have kids too. And when they hear enough from the voters, they tend to start opening their eyes a little bit better. But it does take time. You know, I can testament here. White hair, because we've been doing this for so long. But I agree with you. I mean, you hear the phrase, the rich get richer, the poor get poorer. And I go, that's because they learn about money at home, because we're not teaching. If we really want to level the playing field, we make sure the kids are educated about money in school so they have equal opportunity to succeed. So Tim, I'm going to ask you to hang out because we're going to do another recording for the private Facebook group.
Sure.
But I'm so excited to make this, you know, to meet you. I'm so excited by what you're doing, and we will definitely be knowing each other for a while, and I will be singing your praises. So thank you for all you do, and I appreciate it. And there's a special place for you in heaven for what you're doing, and I thank you.
Sharon, I can, just to return that. And I should probably multiply what you just said by 5, because you just, as you started this conversation, you talked about starting down this path in 1992. So I always say I'm standing on the shoulders of giants. Like, we are able to do what we do as an organization, you know, in this area of personal finance because of folks like you. You've created that foundation for us. And so we're not, you know, you've written the best-selling books. You appear at hundreds of conferences. That bully pulpit makes such a difference. So it's not the first time. You're warming people up to this idea that this should happen. Otherwise, yeah, that Mission 2030 would be a pipe dream. But I think because of the work you and other pioneers have done in really, as you said, carrying the torch, we can make this happen.
Well, and we invite everybody watching and listening to join us to make it happen in your area, in your state, because now you have the tool, and you know the tool that Tim has no promotion in it. It's not promoting a particular bank or a particular insurance company, because a lot of them, you know, think they want to support the community. They provide these free resources, but they have that hook, and Tim's does not. So it's something that, and I think, you know, I talk about this. Tim's information, from what I haven't had a chance to look through all of it, but what I have, it is engaging. And it's something that's important with kids. You got to make it fun. You got to have them, you know, let them see why it's relevant to them, right?
Yeah, if there's one area of our website I'd point people to, and it's actually the first item they would see when they went to ngpf.org, is our arcade. And so we have a relationship with this phenomenal digital ad agency out of Durham, North Carolina, to create a suite of games. And so we're up to 6 games that they've created. And so things like a game called Payback to help students. These are all decision games. Students in the driver's seat making decisions. So Payback helps them get to and through college, all the money decisions they have to make. Stacks is an investing game so that students can see the wisdom of these products called index funds. A third game is Shady Sam, to see really the downside of predatory lending. In this case, students take on the role of the predatory lender. And so these are all, you know, again, it's arcade, it's free. We're not going to ask for email addresses or any contact information. You know, the way we measure success is getting our tools in the hands of as many teachers and young people as possible.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, thank you, Tim. And hang out for a second, because we're going to come right back on. And thank you all for watching and listening. And I, you know, rewind this, make sure you go to the site and make sure you help spread the word, because a lot of times we see the need, but we know there's going to be an uphill battle to create the tools to serve that need. And they're already done. Tim's got it. So become a champion for your own community and make sure they're aware of this, so that we can, let's, you know, I would say, Tim, I think 2030 is a great goal. Let's make it 2025. All right. Thanks awesome. So much. Hang in there. Come see us in the private Facebook group called Play Big Move with Sharon Lecter for more of Tim. Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this segment of the Play Big Movement podcast. Please subscribe to iTunes and leave us a review, as well as join us in other areas of social media, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn at Sharon Lecter, and for Facebook, author Sharon Lecter. Thank you so much, and have a fabulous day.